Stand by. Good day, and welcome to the IBM Tivoli Americas Pipeline Building Conference Series. The topic for today is Winning with Business Automation, OA Successes. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Mr. Carl Valentino. Please go ahead, sir.
Hey, folks. Good morning, and thank you. Welcome to 2009. Welcome to our first series of enablement pipe building calls. Thanks for taking the time to participate in the call this morning. This is the first of 8 calls that will be taking place on Mondays through the beginning part of Q1. As you may recall, these calls took place on Tuesdays last year in 2008 as Tivoli Tuesdays, but we decided to move them back to Mondays based upon your feedback, based upon you telling us that this potentially would be a better time to have these calls, and obvious by the attendance that we've got on today's call. That has rung very true. These calls, as we mentioned in the beginning, are to help you build pipe, to help you understand the solutions that are in the overall portfolio, and hopefully help you drive some of your revenue. Because of your feedback, additionally, we're trying some new things this year with the calls to try to make them of more value to you. Specifically, you're going to see on this call today with the business automation focus. I've made some changes and made this session more in line with giving you information around solution-oriented selling opposed to what we have done historically in the 2008 sessions where we talked about point products or point solutions. In 2009, similar to 2008, you guys as sellers, we're all going to be asked to have a broader responsibility, a broader portfolio, broader solutions. The challenge will be for all of us to become subject matter experts across that portfolio. With more and more in our bag, it's going to be harder and harder to become subject matter experts. So my hope for these first couple of calls as it relates to business automation is going to be to provide you some insight via our peers on business cases that have been won in 2008, business focus around business cases that have been won. I'm pleased to have with me on the call today 3 presenters, Lou Ward, Leo Richmond, and Ryan Saunders. You all should know them real well. Lou's going to talk to us today about the IRS and the win in 2008 as it relates to a key component of the business automation portfolio, that being the composite application monitoring. Leo is going to be on talking to us about his win at UIT, and this one is a great win from the perspective, as you saw in the tagline of today's invite, it's around UIT, and it's around winning in service management, specifically winning in service desk. Everyone on this call is aware of the fact that in 2008 we did not get a fair shake as it relates to service desk by Gartner. But, you know, through your efforts, through Leo's efforts, and through many of the other analysts that we've got, we're starting to get much better visibility into that space of our ability to be successful. UIT's a great example of where we have put the Gartner words, Gartner analysts made what their statements were not very true, and we have many other accounts in the Americas where we're showing great strength in the service desk space and great strength in the service management. And last but not least, Ryan is going to be on, Ryan Saunders, talking about U.S. Trust and what's really becoming the anchor of our business automation portfolio, and that is the NetCool suite. You know, when you look at spaces like CAM and you look at spaces like service management, we have some fierce competitors in those areas. I'm passionate about the fact that in the business automation space, as it relates to NetCool and monitoring and management and a lot of the Omnibus and TBSM products, we have competitors, but none of which can hold a candle to the solutions that we have in that space. So Ryan's going to talk a little bit about that and how he used some creative sales approaches around ROI analysis to help drive and progress that deal. My hope, again, is that you'll take this information and you'll be able to use this to go out and identify opportunities and hopefully be able to get some good talk points to progress your opportunities. I thought it was important, being that this was the first call today, that we have Bob Jones on the call with us as well, kind of kick it off, kind of share with you some of his thoughts about 2008 and some of the exciting things we've got going into 2009. Bobby, there?
I am here. Thanks for the time, Carl. I'll try to be brief. It's not my best thing, but I'll do my best at it. IBM is making an earnings announcement this week, and I will tell you up front, the earnings announcement is going to be really, really good. Or it could be really, really bad or somewhere in between. With a nearly $100 billion company, you know, it's just impossible to tell all but, you know, maybe, you know, 10 guys. It's impossible to tell. You can look at your business unit or yourself or your bigger team or the Americas, and you can think, you know, we've done really well or we've done poorly. And I tell you, every time I think I can kind of predict where IBM's going from an earnings perspective, it seems like I'm wrong because, you know, my team might have a good first half or a good full year, and then we make the announcement and it's, you know, a disaster, or, you know, I might have had a disaster. I think, man, the whole thing's going to pot, and then it turns out we've had a phenomenal year because the Europeans did well or the Asians or somebody else did well around the world. So it's really hard to tell, but I will tell you this. From an automation perspective, specifically business automation perspective, it's generally true. It's maybe not literally true in every case, but it's generally true. As goes business automation, so goes typically North America. When the business automation team has a generally good quarter, we tend to have a generally good quarter from a Tivoli perspective, and the converse is true as well. I will tell you, in 2008, what we saw was relatively weak quarters in first, second, and third quarter in Tivoli and in business automation, but it was better every quarter. And then in fourth quarter, frankly, it was a pretty good quarter. You guys did a very good job. We're all looking for, from a Tivoli perspective, we're all looking for where the turnaround is, where the knee in the curve is, where things go from being kind of the crappy scenario we seem like we've had for, you know, 12 to 18 months from a revenue results against quota perspective and from a growth perspective to where it's going to start being a growth business again. And really, fourth quarter was the first time it started feeling like that on the automation side and typically in the bigger picture as well. So I think we did hit the knee in the curve in fourth quarter. From an automation perspective specifically, we started seeing some of the larger deals close again. We saw customers make significant commitments to the automation platform. So that part is very encouraging looking forward. Real quickly on Pulse, I do continue to need your help. On Pulse, our enrollments got a lot better last week. We had a huge surge of enrollments. We're up over 1,000 customers at this point in time. The North America target's a little over 2,000 customers. There are a couple of just fundamental things you can help with. We have a lot of free pass offers out for customers who have not enrolled, and you need to either get them to enroll or resend the offer and give it to somebody else. And we've got some speakers who are yet to enroll as well. So we've got some easy screws to turn to get our enrollment boosted. Right now, the target is we're still shooting to have about as many people as we had last year on the customer side. The other area that's kind of lagging some from an enrollment perspective is the partner piece. So to the extent that you work with a business partner, encourage them to be at Pulse. Third thing, from a 2009 perspective, you're going to get quotas soon, I promise. Now, the normal year is 2008 and before, there's been this maniacal, you know, relatively insane focus to get quotas in your hands by the 7th or the 9th of January. And the emphasis was getting them out, not getting them right. We're taking a little more measured approach in 2009, thankfully, in terms of trying to get them right as opposed to get them out. So sometime in the next 2 weeks-ish, you'll have a 2009 or at least a first-half quota letter in your hand. What it's going to look like in general, at least at my level, and this will trickle down certainly, is we're going to benefit from our relatively crappy first half performance of 2008. The 2009 plan, in prior years, it's been set on every metric known to man. It's been the 40-30-20-10 over the last 4 years. It's been that with adjustments based on big deals we know is going to happen and yak, yak, yak. In 2009, the primary metric that was used to set quota was 2008 attainment in that quarter, in that half. Well, our first half last year was pretty tough, so we benefited by that. So what you'll see at my level when the quota stuff gets rolled out is my quota at the North America level for first quarter and for first half of 2009 is 4% growth over 2008. 2008. Well, 2008 was pretty bad, so when you look at a 2007 to 2009 perspective, it's a pretty serious, our target is a pretty serious decline, so we have got an opportunity to make some money. The other good news related to that is our pipeline for first quarter is somewhere in the 6X to 7X neighborhood after all the cleanup, after the automated cleanup, and after the work that you all have done. We'll be in the 6-ish to 7-ish X coverage neighborhood. It's shaping up that we're starting to need more like 5X as opposed to 4X. Our yields are coming in closer to 20% than 25%. So we're in good shape to cover the plan, and some of you are going to be in good shape to make some money. In 2009, I really think your customers are going to need your help more than they have, at least in recent memory. Maybe not than ever before, but certainly in recent memory. They're going to come to you with budget issues and cash flow issues and productivity issues and, you know, the laundry list of objections on why they're struggling right now to spend dollars with you. But all this plays, at least into the automation part of the portfolio, it all plays right into your sweet spot, into your hand, to the story that you have to tell them related to what our product set does for them to help address budget, cash, and productivity-related issues at their company. Number four on the teaming side, there's a tax that everybody on the phone pays. I pay it as well, and it's as a salesperson working for IBM, we all pay a little tax to fund our worldwide teammates, our development teammates, the North America and the region teams that do not work in business units or do not work in the IMTs. In 2009, everybody gets to pay a little tax there. We pay it a little bit via quota. We pay it a little bit via our awards funding, et cetera. And what we do is we fund those teams to help. Now, the smart reps find a way to say, look, if I'm paying a tax, I'm going to get value for that. It's like paying a road tax and never driving on the road. If you're paying the tax, and you are, you need to find ways to engage the worldwide team, the development team, the service team, the technical team. We have got some very talented people in the global Tivoli construct. Some of them are overused, frankly. Some of them, they're on our short list. We call them all the time. But there are a whole lot of talented people in these groups that you pay a tax for that some of you aren't using. You're trying to do too much on your own, trying to make every presentation, trying to make every call on your own. There's value in bringing in some of your teammates. I am encouraging you to find a way to get some of the people who want to help you in that regard. Next thing is related to change. You're going to see in the next, you know, probably this week and then next week, you're going to see some changes announced. I think most of them will be announced this week. Organizational changes and territory changes and coverage changes and on and on. And some, you've seen some of the sales plan changes announced already. Some of the changes you're going to like, and some of them you're not going to like. Some of those decisions were mine, and some of them were dictated to us in all brands at the field level. Here's my deal. I'm trying to optimize from a Tivoli organization perspective, Tivoli North America organization. I'm trying to optimize Tivoli North America to make that thing, that entity, that business concern as profitable and as growth-oriented as possible. By doing that, that's going to disadvantage some reps. It's going to advantage some reps based on how we, you know, tell you who's going to cover what product set or sub-product, that kind of stuff. I'm doing it to figure out how to make Tivoli North America the most successful organization we can. So some of those changes I think will benefit you. Some of the sales plan changes, frankly, are going to benefit you. The quota implementation change is going to benefit you. But some of the other changes may not. I'm asking you to keep an open mind about it. Let's work through it in first quarter and second quarter. And if you just can't stomach it, then talk to your manager, talk to me. We'll talk about other options for you, whether it's at IBM or somewhere else. I'm not one of those, you know, try to chain people to the IBM desk kind of guys. If this thing isn't working, if the value's not coming back to you from the IBM company, then you're an idiot to stay, right? You should find the thing that's best for you as an individual. Last thing, I will tell you, given the quota that we've got, this essentially flat plan over the kind of crappy first half of last year, this might indeed be your best year. You've got to start in your mind. I think you've got to start thinking of it that way, is you're going to get a quota delivered to you, and a lot of you are going to get it and say, because frankly, and I mean, I wouldn't say this if my boss was on the phone, but frankly, when I got mine, I almost kind of had the, are you kidding me? This is incredible, because it's less than we did by a lot in 2007. It's essentially the same as we did in 2008, and we were really disappointed in that. And that's all we got to do to make plan. This may be the time for you to put some money in the bank. And it's going to be tough. For a lot of our competitors, it's going to be tough. For a lot of our peers in the IBM company, it's going to be tough, who had some version of a moderate to good year last year. It's going to be a tough earnings year. This may be the time for us, for you individually, to find a way to make it your best year from a career standpoint, from an earnings standpoint. So I haven't spent the last year with the Tivoli team, and then most of you have been on the team far longer than that. It's been a drought on the earnings side, and I am confident most of you are ready to make some money. I am telling you, keep your eyes open, keep your head focused on selling. The first half of 09, and I think the quota mantra for the second half is the exact same as the first half, I think you're going to have a chance to make some real cash in 2009. But you're going to have to start early, and I know I've been a part of the problem, and the IBM company has been a little bit in the way of that. We're sitting here on January the 19th, and most of you do not have a final territory list, don't have a quota yet. I got that. I understand that we're part of the thing that's preventing a fast start, but I'm telling you, the second we deliver you the territory and the quota, you got to jump on this thing, and as they say, make some hay while the sun shines. Get on this deal. There is a way to make money in the IBM Corporation in Tivoli in 2009, certainly in the first quarter, certainly in the first half. I believe the same will be true for the second half as well. Stay focused on job one. Stay focused on selling. There's going to be a lot of distractions in the next week or so that you're going to want to sit around and everybody's going to want to gripe about. The guys who are going to – people who are going to – have success in the first quarter are going to be the ones who don't spend time in that regard. Find ways to stay focused on what you need to do in your territory, and that's going to cause some money to come to you. It's going to cause some success to come your way from a territory standpoint, earnings standpoint, that kind of a thing. Carl, that's all I've got. I'm going to stay on the call and listen to the rest of the training.
Great. Thanks. Bob. I appreciate you joining. Appreciate the words. Hey, for those of you who are looking for the presentation, if you don't have it already, it is on Extreme Leverage. The link was part of the invite. If you don't have the link, just shoot me at same time. I'm on same time right now. I'm happy to shoot you over the link on where you can get the presentation. Folks, we're going to hold all questions to the end so we can get through the presentations. We're going to go about, this is actually for the presenters, about 10 minutes per account, and then that'll leave us roughly about 10 minutes or so towards the end for Q&A. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Lou. Lou, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Thanks, Carl, and good morning, everyone. I thought I'd start off with just a few interesting facts about IRS for those of you who aren't familiar with the account. The IRS is a bureau of the U.S. Department of Treasury, and it's one of the world's most efficient tax administrators, unfortunately for us. In 2005, the IRS spent just 44 cents for every $100 it collected. I'm trying to get them to raise that number a little bit so they can buy more software. In 2004, the IRS collected more than $2 trillion in revenue and processed more than 224 million tax returns. They did that using over 110,000 employees around the country. A lot of folks don't realize IRS even has their own police force charged with enforcing tax laws. From an IT perspective, they support numerous online applications, including e-file. It's been in the news here just recently for the fact that they're opening that up for a lot of folks to be able to file electronically who haven't in the past. In addition, they have taxpayer validation, where's my refund application, so you can see where your refund is in the process. The entire tax code is online for tax professionals to refer to, as well as the public, and there's a lot of information just for professional tax preparers that's online as well, so the IRS maintains all that. We're on page 3 of the slides now. Continuing the customer overview, the IRS interfaces with thousands of tax return preparation clients like H&R Block and you know, all the major companies, as well as services. So if you do your taxes with an online application, there's a service that takes your application and files it with the IRS. So those are all customers of the IRS from an IT filing online perspective. Tax regulations and those services, again, are available online to tax professionals. And they do these filings typically in a batch mode, so it's not like they're getting thousands of applications individually. They come in a batch process mode and then run through the system as batches. There's no way they could handle individual volumes to the, you know, to the tune of 224 million, so they do these in batches. They are expanding their support for individual filings, as has been in the news recently, and over the course of the next year, they'll be instituting the ability to file the individual 1040 form, and this is going to place a massive additional load on their existing infrastructure. If you look at what IRS has deployed today from Tivoli, in addition to their recent acquisitions, they have been a huge customer of Tivoli Provisioning Manager and Tivoli Configuration Manager over the years, and they provision over 100,000 desktops and servers in their organization. They manage their server population with Tivoli monitoring remote control, and they do run ITCAM for application monitoring today to manage some of these online filing applications. Some of the things that they feel as potential pains or actual pains, if there's an outage during one of these critical tax filing periods, this could create what I call a CNN event, and that's when your phone rings and it's CNN calling to find out why people can't file their taxes online, for example. So that's obviously a very bad thing, bad publicity for the agency and so forth. Outages during these peak demand periods need to be resolved really quickly to avoid that sort of phone call and to prevent really massive backlogs from occurring very quickly in the filing process. The complex application infrastructure, it is very difficult to manage all these tax returns and so forth effectively because of the complexity of them. So root cause analysis and resolution of problems is very difficult without the right infrastructure to manage all this. The CIO for the agency has committed to the IRS Board of Governors, who run the agency, that he'll raise the reliability of their key customer-facing applications. So those are some specific pain points that IRS is trying to address using Tivoli. Relative to our solution, one of the things that I discovered in working with the IRS was that the developers who create these applications for IRS were not really incorporating the concept of monitoring into their design. So they were throwing the applications over the fence once completed, leaving it to another contractor, in fact, who's responsible for management of their deployed solutions. This resulted in a lot of finger-pointing when issues occurred. The contractor charged with managing the application has a great Tivoli team, and so they've been doing a really good job of keeping up with things. But again, the developers would periodically want to blame the Tivoli products for actually causing some of these problems because the Tivoli products were discovering the issue, and that was the only difference from the lab and the deployed environment was Tivoli. The good news for us is the contractor who manages the applications was able to go and improve, and in fact Tivoli was finding the problem but not causing it. They're able to do some great internal selling for us as well by getting mindshare from IRS management for the work they're doing, and they've been able to shoot holes in some of the competitive issues that we've encountered. On slide four, looking at the Tivoli solution, one of our main focuses was the incorporation of the ITCAM suite into the architectural design of the modernized eFile, which is one of the main online filing applications, and we're adding response time tracking to the WAS monitoring that they're already doing. In addition, IRS wanted to expand their end-to-end application monitoring coverage to include the network infrastructure, so we've added the NetCool suite of products to the environment to cover the network side of things. From a business point of view, a lot of the higher managers in IRS wanted to be able to look at some of these applications from a business perspective rather than from an IT perspective and see how they're doing in terms of performing the expected results, given the expected results to the tax preparers that they're looking for. In 2007, IBM closed a fairly significant software relationship offering, or SRO, using Elise to provide basically covered all of the IBM software except for Tivoli. And so there was an existing Tivoli contract in place that, by the way, was expiring at the same time that this other contract was put in place, but that's the typical government for you. So we decided that we wanted to take advantage of that contract and try and add the new Tivoli software to it, which is what we ended up doing. In addition, we provided software for managing software licenses and some other application areas, TATM, CCMDB, and some security software, things like that. In terms of the value that we're providing to the IRS, basically being able to give them this deep integrated application monitoring will dramatically improve the resolution and overall reduction of issues. And so we're ensuring that the ITCAM suite is an integral part of future software deployments by integrating it into their environment. And this specifically will help us to block some competitors' efforts. The IRS managers, and one in particular, was kind of leaning towards a non-IBM product, and so we felt that it was necessary to do whatever we could to prevent anybody else from gaining any foothold into an area where we felt like we already had some traction. We also introduced the NetCool suite as a new product family into the IRS environment, and this specifically helped to strengthen ties between two different associate CIO-level organizations. Interestingly enough, IT management and enterprise operations and the network infrastructure folks are actually separate organizations within the IRS. So by being able to provide applications that help tie those two together, it helps to strengthen the internal overall IT infrastructure and gives them less of the stovepipe type of appearance. We also provided, through TBSM, a better awareness for IRS execs of the real-time state of their business. And in terms of real tangible savings, we have shown that with this contract in place, we've been able to save over $6 million in reinstatement fees because IRS is now able to track all their software maintenance expirations at the same time as opposed to having to go out and look all over the place. They really weren't doing a very good job of tracking when their software maintenance expired, and they were incurring regular reinstatement fees because of that. So if we look at slide 5 now, in terms of some of the lessons learned, supporting the application developers in terms of integrating our product into their environment was really key here. And I will tell you at this point, interestingly enough, the application developer for eFile is IBM. So it's always a good idea to know who within IBM is in your accounts, because you may find that being able to leverage them can be really beneficial. They were very resistant at first to working with us just because they had so much on their plate. They didn't think that monitoring was something they needed to deal with. Over time, we did a lot of education with those folks, and we brought them around to the point where they're now asking us for assistance in helping them to design the next iteration of the product. Being able to leverage all of your resources, we had a number of executive briefings both in Austin and in the Washington area with IRS, and those were really key in being able to turn around the IRS viewpoint on the value of some of the Tivoli products that they had, as well as some of the products that we were looking at. We were thrown a bit of a curve, and then in the middle of the year, in the middle of the process, rather, earlier in 2008, a lot of the managers at IRS changed. And so we basically had to kind of start all over again in terms of delivering some of these messages. So the briefing centers were really critical to be able to get that executive mind share in a hurry. Whenever you can, you obviously need to empower your customers to sell the work they're doing to IT management. I mean, these technical guys are not salespeople, so anything that we can do to help them to deliver the message relative to the value of what they're doing, it kind of expands our sales force from the inside, and it's a great way to do some guerrilla selling. In terms of suggestions for opportunity identification, I would encourage you guys to identify who the application developers are in your customer environment, who the support contractors are who could benefit from knowledge about Tivoli solutions, and just continue to support their efforts in selling the value of what they do to IT management. The briefing center can definitely be a great way to facilitate the delivery of our value message within all levels of IT management in the customer account. And the great thing is, like in the case of the briefings we did with IRS, we had managers and technical people in the room together, and oftentimes it was the only time those folks all sat in the same room at the same time. So it was nice to be able to facilitate some discussions that wouldn't occur otherwise, another way we could sort of add some additional value for our customers. And then one of the things that was kind of creative, we actually built in attendance to events like Pulse and similar events for the other brands into this new contract. So the customer actually has sort of prepaid passes to send folks to Pulse, and the IRS is actually sending 10 people to Pulse in Las Vegas this year. Let's see. I guess I pretty much covered everything. Actually, one more thing I wanted to mention. The next challenge, obviously, in the case of the IRS, they've bought a whole bunch of new software. Now we got to get them to use it. So that will be the next challenge for me going forward. Carl, I guess I'll turn it back over to you at this point.
Yeah, Lou, I knew we said we'd hold some questions to the end, but there's a couple just quick high-level points I want to make before we jump over to Leo and Hewitt. Obviously, thank you for the plug for the briefing center. It's just a resource like Bob referred to in line with product management and development that we as a team just do not utilized enough. This, you know, we see about 80% of the deals that we bring through the briefing center in Austin progress. So thank you for that that overview of the value you got from that. One of the points I wanted to just kind of touch upon is you made reference to the NetCool suite and the value, bridging two separate organizations within the IRS, IT management and network infrastructure management. I'm assuming that was done via our visualization with TBSM.
Well, actually, two things. One was incorporating TBSM into the overall design of how they manage these applications from an end-to-end perspective, but also giving them kind of a common tool suite that both organizations can use so that one group doesn't go to the other and say, hey, I can't get to my app because the network's down. Hey, you can't get to your app because your server's down, you know, that type of a finger-pointing sort of thing. So some value there. But interestingly, there are technical personnel within the operations organization who have a great handle on some of this network management from a visualization perspective, and they actually share personnel between the two organizations, but it's purely at the technical level, so now we're trying to bring that to organizational interaction up to the management level as well.
Yep. And this is a great example of breaking down the silos. You know, we're on the call today talking about business automation, and Lou's breaking down the silos between IT management and network infrastructure management. There's no company in the world today that is better equipped to break down those silos beyond business automation, security, performance automation, storage, bringing it all into a single dashboard and a single visualization tool gives you the end-to-end capability. So that is really an important point to drive through from the IRS and a few others, I'm sure as well you've seen through Lou's presentation. Again, we'll hold questions to the end. Lou, thanks for that. Leo, are you there? Are you there?
I am. Thanks, Carl.
Great. It's all yours.
So thanks for the opportunity to speak this morning, Carl, and hello, everyone. My name is Leo Rickman. I'm the Tivoli Enterprise sales rep in Chicago that covers the Hewitt Associates account. And Carl asked me to talk a little bit about the great Q4 win we had out at Hewitt from a service management perspective. To start with, I'll give you a little bit of an overview background on Hewitt Associates. They are a global HR outsourcing/consulting firm. In fact, they're the world's largest provider of multi-service HR BPO, business process outsourcing. 24,000 employees worldwide, roughly about $3 billion in annual revenue, 3,000 clients with over 20 million participants worldwide. In fact, their customers include more than half of the Fortune 500 companies. So that's a little bit of a background on Hewitt Associates. If we flip to slide two, talk a little bit about the pain that Hewitt is encountering in regards to service management. Rising costs driven by process inefficiencies and increased complexity. They've made a number of acquisitions over the last 5 years and trying to bring these different acquisitions under the core IT infrastructure has been somewhat of a challenge. They've had reduced effectiveness in their service desk, level one, level two support areas due to siloed service management. And what I mean by the siloed service management process and tools is today, from a tools perspective, they use a custom Remedy ARS system for incident management. They're using Lotus Notes for problem management, although they really don't do problem management. Change management is also done with Lotus Notes. Asset management's with CA Unicenter. And SLA is strictly manual with spreadsheets and Word documents. The point is they're siloed. None of these different tools communicate with each other, which causes severe inefficiencies from a mean time to repair and driving resolution to incidents. Thus causing, high administrative costs. They have this Remedy system that they know that they need to upgrade, and to upgrade the current system is really a brand new implementation, and so there's some high costs there. Also, maintaining that system, they have anywhere from 6 to 8 full-time administrators for the system, so the IT director at Hewitt really wanted to get away from that labor-intensive solution. If we look at it from a change management perspective, they have a real tough time understanding the impact changes have on their environment and what assets are affected, and prioritizing from a business impact, what those changes might have an effect on. ultimately, they're really trying to get to a business service management model where they can align IT with the business and business back to the IT and really try to drive those priorities from a business perspective. They do a decent job of ad hoc reporting, but from a compliance Sarbanes-Oxley perspective, they really have a tough time understanding and driving reports for the auditors. So with the solution that we talked to them about, the Maximo solution, which consisted of TSRM, if we flip to slide 3 at this point to talk about the Tivoli solution that Hewitt purchased in Q4, the Help Desk, Tivoli Service Request Manager, Change Management, Release Process Manager, Service Level Agreement Manager, TAM IT, Asset Management for IT, the Integration Adapter, and they currently already own TATM and CCMDB. However, they haven't implemented that, but that'll be the foundation for this service management solution. If we take a look back quickly at the timeline, we started working on this opportunity back in Q1 of 2008. That's when the initial project kicked off and the opportunity was identified. We were competing against Computer Associates, HP, and, of course, the incumbent BMC. Around the April-May timeframe, we responded to an RFP. It was a very, very lengthy RFP response, over 200 pages. After that, in the June-July timeframe, we helped them build an ROI business case that they, in fact, took to their board of directors to justify this project. There was multiple presentations throughout the year, and so the total sales cycle, this opportunity closed at the end of November, was about a 10 or 11-month sales cycle. Some of the value that we're providing as part of our solution, incident and problem isolation, which will help reduce the time in determining the root cause of an incident and try to understand the business impact. They're looking to reduce the labor savings, and that's one of the key areas that we showed within the ROI analysis, that our automated system and having these different service management ITIL processes integrated together will help them automate and reduce the labor impact, which goes hand in hand with mean time to repair by reducing the time required to identify, analyze, and resolve issues, problems, should reduce that mean time to repair. Also understanding the change management risk and associating that with business impact and IT assets. And tying this all together with the service level agreement module and understanding and avoiding service level penalties. If we flip to slide 4, some of the lessons learned on this particular opportunity, preparation. I'm sure I don't need to talk to most of the folks on this call, you're all seasoned, experienced sales reps, but I can never stress enough how much preparation helped in this particular opportunity. We had the orals after the RFP response was turned in, and we did multiple dry runs with 5 or 6 different presenters, which really helped. Our messaging was succinct, coming back to that overall business service management messaging. Internal resources, there were a number of different resources that I leveraged and helped. It was a true team effort in this great win. We did the ROI analysis with Rigg and Shillstone's group, countless phone calls and meetings with the customer to understand, you know, their numbers and tying that back to value and ROI. We estimated the ROI at return on investment about 18 months and millions of dollars of savings over a 5-year return. The RFP response, I talked about that lengthy response. The Deal Hub was critical to being a central contact and reining in all the different resources to make sure the deliverables were delivered on time. ITSM specialists like Tasker Generous, Steve Cassio, Chris Bangman from the Maximo team were critical in helping from a technical standpoint and selling the value of the overall complete solution. Also leveraged executives. Jeff Lautenbach had a couple of key visits that helped drive at a very high level, as well as Al Zolar came in for a presentation with the CIO and his direct reports talking about our overall service management solution. One of the key things was building this internal business case. Because we were able to do that, they viewed us as a trusted advisor and thought leader, which really gained a lot of credibility in their eyes. Another key thing was understanding who the competition was. Remedy, BMC being the incumbent, We knew that they were very frustrated with the high administrative cost and the fact that they were going to have to do a brand new implementation to upgrade that system. So we really honed in and focused on trying to leverage where we can compete in those areas. And of course, building strong and solid personal relationships with the highest levels possible. The IT director and a few of his managers attended the Medina golf event that we had last August, as well as taking them to different sporting events locally, helped give them confidence that they were making the decision and moving forward with a company they could trust. As far as opportunity identification going forward, you know, a key thing here was just looking for the customer pain, understanding that they had initiatives around business service management, as well as developing a CMDB. And also, as I mentioned already, the fact that this labor-intensive solution they had in place today and the fact that they needed to upgrade was a new implementation. Not necessarily associated with this opportunity, but another opportunity identification for our service management solution. The HP Paragon Heritage Service Desk is going to be sunset in December of 2009. And so customers that are on that solution will have to make a decision on whether they move over to the Peregrine system or look at new vendors. So it could be opportunities for people on this call if they know that the customers have the Heritage HP service desk in place. So I think we'll be taking questions at the end, but Carl, that's what I had to present on today.
Bill, thank you. Really appreciate that. And again, we'll hold the questions to the end, but one thing I did want to add here some color to Leo's overview is the fact that this is a really critical and important space for us. It's an important space for us to win. You know, as goes the CMDB, as goes the service desk, a lot of other business will go that way. Our competitors are leveraging those products, specifically HP and BMC, are leveraging the service management portfolio that they have to come after other areas of our portfolio where we have strength. We are in much, much better shape than we were 2 years ago, even a year ago, from a product portfolio and a strength perspective and an integration perspective with the MRO portfolio. One thing I want to mention to everybody on this call is me and the automation folks are spending a tremendous amount of money sponsoring. We're platinum sponsors for an event in Las Vegas. Unfortunately, it's 2 weeks after Pulse, but it's the Pink Elephant event in Las Vegas. It's at the Bellagio. We're platinum sponsors. We're going to have a great showing around all our service management portfolios, specifically the ones that Leo was talking about at Hewitt. We've got a great agenda. We've got a great bunch of customer events planned going on out there. I would ask everybody, if you've got an opportunity that you think could be progressed by bringing them to this event, let me know. I can help you with some tickets. I can maybe help you with some funding. But equally, I would encourage you to talk to your customers. Most people who are involved with IDLE and ITF and service management, many of your customers will be at this event. And we will have a lot of our IBM executives at the event. We'll have a lot of our product and development folks at the event. Sync up with me. Sync up with your regional BA leader. And let's make sure we make contact with your customer at a minimal while they're there in Las Vegas for the Pink Elephant event. It's going to be a great great showing and a great way to progress your opportunities. Again, Leo, thanks. I'm going to turn it over now to Ryan. Ryan, are you on the call?
I'm here.
It's all yours. Thanks, Ryan.
Great. Thank you. Thanks, Carl. Thanks, Bob. For those that I don't know, my name, again, is Ryan Saunders. I'm a Tivoli Net Coal Specialist in the Central Region, primarily providing support for the Tivoli sellers. And we had gotten engaged for some time with U.S. Bank. And for those that aren't familiar with U.S. Bank, hopefully you are. They are the sixth largest commercial bank, pretty large branch network. Their primary focus, and thank God they have not spent a lot of time and money in the mortgage business, as they were isolated from a lot of the problems in the recent downturn in the finance market with the bad mortgages. But they continue to do well, and right in the midst of all the bad news coming out, we were able to close this opportunity, so we were pretty fortunate. U.S. Bank unfortunately, has been a very large HP OpenView shop for a long time. They're using OpenView to monitor their entire server infrastructure, their network infrastructure. They were using OVO to do a lot of the event correlation from the different tools, and they were doing some application monitoring also with some of the Mercury tools. They also, in the midst of our sales process, made a decision for a new service management strategy selecting HP. So they selected HP CMDB along with the Service Center. So with all those things facing us, we did have a small implementation of NetCool that was used by Network Operations that was acquired through Cisco from some years ago, but obviously was viewed as a very tactical solution, and we had to obviously sell around many of the HP issues. The good news is, and those that know me, I'm pretty passionate about going after HP because HP's solution lacks a lot of capabilities. We were primarily brought in originally to look at network monitoring, and for those that know NNM, it really lacks ability to do low-level monitoring of the network, and they were unable to do a lot of root cause. As we pulled back the covers, the real pain was that they were frequently having retail branches that would go down, and when these branches are down, you can only imagine what's going on. Good news is there's redundancy in the bank, but there's a lot of people scurrying around trying to fix these problems when the branches lose connectivity back to corporate. On top of that, the operations teams really started becoming just overwhelmed with the inability to see and prioritize events coming in. They were just getting floods of events. Many events would be, and alerts would just be ignored, and hence their mean time to resolve these problems were just, you know, going through the roof. And likewise, they were frequently missing their SLAs. So they would have some penalties, not hard dollar penalties, but penalties that they would suffer back to their businesses. Additionally, another point on NNM is NNM had some scalability issues, and it clearly was not able to add any more network devices, and so they were looking at fairly significant upgrades with NNM because of the capacity issues. And we already talked about some of the outages, but many times they would find that when an outage would occur, whether it's a branch or a corporate system, that, you know, four or five different groups would be getting notified of the same problem, and they would have these conference calls where everybody would join a call, and maybe four to six groups would be on that call, and they'd just be wasting trying to pinpoint problems. The other big problem that they were encountering was that they had really lacked any automation with their trouble ticketing system, and what automation they did have in place, it would take, once they identified that a ticket was required for an issue, it would take upwards of 30 minutes to create this manual ticket. So needless to say, there was obviously lots of opportunity based on these pains. The sales team, we had spent quite a bit of time trying to sell our solution, and we had good support. I mean, for some time we were getting great support. They were wanting to move forward with the Tivoli solution, but unfortunately, we lacked some executive support. At one point in time, they had a reorganization. An executive came in that was more certainly supporting an HP decision. So we were significantly struggled to be able to get in and get our solution sold. Carl, I just had a network problem here.
Hey, I can still hear you just fine. I don't know if it's a computer or
It is my computer. So the other big issue that we ran into was the that we were working with were seriously lacking the ability to articulate the business value of our solution. So we had to spend, we had to really coach our sellers at the account on how to move past just selling the solution and really selling the ROI. If you go on to slide 12, the obvious solution that we brought forward was we brought forward the whole consolidated operation strategy, including the Tivoli Network Manager and Impact Solutions. And the focus was to provide, and the real selling point was that we were going to provide this integrated event correlation and network management solution that was tightly integrated, and based on what we knew that HP was unable to provide, we really sold very hard how everything was well integrated. We also spent a lot of time selling the integration with both the monitoring infrastructure and service center and the CMDB. So using the NetCool Impact products, we talked about how we could real-time integrate with those solutions, and we really got the attention support from the people that from operations that we were going to be able to do that. One of the big selling points of the solution, and again, those that know me, the silver bullet in our portfolio with NetCool is our automated enrichment and correlation capabilities. And as we were being compared to HP, some of the things that we were able to do, they just were not able to even get close to what we were able to do. The root cause analysis was, again, just something that was out of the box, and we were able to demonstrate, and they were unable to demonstrate anything close. MPLS and Layer 2, Layer 3 support became something very critical during the process and, again, stood out from our solution. The good news is while they made this service management decision with the HP products, our sponsors and the operations teams and some of the executives we started working with really saw this as the foundation to move to BSM. HP had thrown in the BAC products with the Service Center and CMDB decision, and they did a small pilot, but unfortunately that project was kind of put on hold as they wait for our project to finally get implemented, and I think we'll have a real good opportunity to put in TBSM on top of the solution. The business value, and I'll talk here in a second, this was the real key thing that really helped us bring this opportunity to closure. We had to change our sales approach from a solution approach to a business value and ROI. And we had all team on deck very focused on trying to dig in to their business and understand how to translate, you know, speeds and feeds into real actionable value to the customer. So a couple of key points here that you see, we were able to articulate and help actually document how they were able to see a 40% faster resolution on actionable alerts. And that also helped translate into overall reduced MTTR, which we were able to help estimate that would be about a 30 to 40% improvement in MTTR. The time on the branch recovery issues, they were seeing, you know, serious problems on trying to recover all these branches, and we were demonstrated how we were able to show them a 60% improvement on recovery time. They also spend a lot of time in their operations area calling the telcos, trying to get the telcos to test out the wires in the branches, and they have MPLS and so on and so forth. So we were able to help, we were able to document with them where they would reduce those calls by 50%. Overall, we documented and demonstrated that we were able to save 12 to 13 FTEs per year. This really came down to 24,000 hours of time saved. And as we were starting to sell our solution, this really became an issue is, you know, the operations team is saying there's no way we're going to be able to take out 12 to 13 FTEs, but they were able to talk about how they could save 24,000 hours. I included the next slide 13 and 14 as just kind of placeholders for people to see what we did during the ROI analysis. We started with the Alinion tool, but we found that some of the data points coming out of Alinion, while they were good, we really need to pull back the covers. So we had to go in, interview operations, interview systems, interview application teams, and come up with all these business case areas where we're actually able to document and show them return on investment. And I think the important thing is, at the end of the day, the return on investment, which they were able to take forward and sell to the executive management, was 8.7 months. And that was obviously very impressive when they were able to articulate that, and we were able to help them. If you go on to slide 15, the lessons learned here, and I also at this point I want to thank, this was a large team commitment from people like Matt Kroll, Gary Geiger, Chris Barber, Rick Goldmiller. There's a large team involved with this opportunity that assisted, so I don't want to take all the credit, but some of the issues that we understood at the end of the opportunity was we were continuing to be told what the procurement process was, but you know, there was always surprises. The architecture team, the executive committees, we could never get a straightforward response to what the process was. At the end of the day, the process ended up being something completely different than what we expected. And then the ROI and business case, you know, they were telling us, you know, we have a standard process, we don't have to build a business case, but at the end of the day, there was no way they were going to be able to move forward. And the key point here is the ROI and business case. I think we're all finding that no customer is able to move forward unless they can translate the business value, not what the technical solution can do, but what is the value to the business. And over in all the opportunities I get engaged with, we are clearly trying to drill down so we can articulate the business value. And my opinion is if the customer has to do it, why don't we do it with them so we can be that trusted advisor. And in many cases at this account, they look to us as the consultants versus the sellers. From an opportunity identification perspective, I go back to the comm play. HP is absolutely an open target. HP has fallen behind in this area. OpenView has, with NNM and OVO, those products are very weak. Many times this becomes a religious war versus a technology or solution. People just like OpenView because they know it. Don't be afraid of NNM. There is some improvements in NNM, but we can still beat NNM and OVO, so I wouldn't be worried about running from those opportunities. So, Carl, that's it.
Great. Hey, Ryan, I appreciate that. Before we turn it over to questions, one interesting thing that I always think about when I hear about U.S. Bank, and I think this is an important point, is the way you kind of change the game a little bit as it relates to selling the value of the ROI. You know, fundamentally, we know the Alinion tool and what we spit out as part of the ROI value is, you know, cutting of 12 to 14 FTEs, which for people who are, you know, secure in organizations, secure in their keepdoms of big, you know, organizations, that they're not very receptive to pushing that forward to their management. But as you positioned as correlating those resources to the hours, you know, it goes back very much to the, you know, the first or second slide that we normally give, you know, when we talk about service management, and that is moving the hours that we spend in keeping the lights on away from the operational aspect of keeping the lights on and moving them more towards areas where we're using those hours to provide business value. So that was a great point and a great output of the ROI. Catherine, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Catherine, could you open up the line for Q&A?
Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, the question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to queue up to ask a question, it is star 1 on your touch-tone telephone. We will take as many questions as time permits and proceed in the order that you signal us. Once again, it is star 1 if you'd like to queue up for a question or comment, and we'll pause for just a moment. And we'll take our first question from Brian McNamara.
Hey, Carl.
Hey, Brian.
I've got a question back on so long ago now on Lou's presentation. Lou, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I work in the Central Region as a BA sales lead, and you mentioned your thing with the IRS is going and selling Tivoli monitoring, I'll call it upstream, to the development community over there as opposed to them throwing applications over the wall. I'm curious if you could give us a little more detail on your strategy for getting entree into the development parts of an organization, what your value message was to them, and how well they've received it, and you know how long that effort took you.
Well, actually, overall, the IRS effort took about 18 months, but it probably took somewhere in the vicinity of about 9 months to get the developers interested enough to be able to come into some of the presentations that we were providing for them. And as I mentioned at the end of my presentation, in this particular case, it is IBM who is the developer on this particular application. But the contractor who supports the application once it's deployed is a different company altogether. So there was, I don't want to say animosity, but there was a little bit of a concern between the two about, you know, who was doing what type of a thing. So the folks who actually manage these applications are very savvy towards Tivoli, and we had a good relationship with them. So they kept pointing us back to the key individuals that they felt we needed to be talking to inside of IBM. And, you know, unfortunately, as large a company as we are, even when IBM is the contractor, you know, let alone somebody else, it's no guarantee that it's going to be easy for you to get to them or that they're going to be willing to listen to what you have to say. So I think the fact that they were IBM maybe made it a little bit easier, but overall, you know, to me it wasn't any different as if I was calling on Lockheed Martin or somebody like that doing the same type of work.
Got it. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. As a reminder, it is star 1 if you'd like to ask a question, and we'll now hear from Frank Hicks.
Hey, good morning. Hey, Lou, Leo, and Ryan, I appreciate your time this morning. I'd just love to get volunteered like you guys did. Hey, Leo, I've got a question for you regarding your service management opportunity at Hewitt. How were you able to talk through the recent Gartner Magic Quadrant report? You know, it must have hit you right when you were trying to close this deal. And how you know, how did you talk through it, and, you know, how was the customer's response to that?
Yeah, to be perfectly honest, I struggled with that one a little bit. I'm not sure if I took the right approach. I thought about, you know, hitting that one head on and being proactive and going to the customer first. But to be perfectly honest, that never came up. So I don't know if Hewitt didn't do the due diligence or the competitors didn't send that information over to Hewitt, but I never had to deal with that tough question.
It's a great question, Frank. We have, in many of the other deals where we've won, specifically SunTrust and the in the Southeast, that did came up. The sales team did a great job taking that head on. There's some documents that have been written on how we counter that, but the documents around, you know, the fact that, you know, they were looking at an older version, you know, and the fact that, you know, when you look at the Magic Quadrant and where we were positioned and some of the competitors that were above us, you know, most intelligent customers can realize that something is fishy in that analyst report. And then when you also hit them with the Forrester and the EMA reports on, you know, that counter that, I think you can quickly, without getting into a mudslinging contest, make the customer realize that there's more of a political dynamic going on with that report than there is a technical dynamic. But thanks for that question, Frank. It's a good one.
Thank you. And Mr. Valentino, it appears we have no additional questions at this time. I'll turn things back over to you for any additional or closing remarks.
Great. Good. Folks, again, thank you very much for taking the time. I hope this was of value. I appreciate any feedback you could give me on, you know, how this compares, this format, to his formats we've done historically, whether we should continue this, go back to the solution or the product-related type format. Again, thank you very much to Leo, Lou, and Ryan for the time and sharing with us their successes for from 2008. Have a great day, great holiday, and good selling. Thanks, folks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's presentation. Thank you for your participation, and have a good afternoon.